Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Play fake. Leonard to the end zone. Touchdown, Irish. Bo Collins. With the first touchdown of this game.
I'd like to know where Lou Holtz is right now.
Oh, I win. Google me.
We're not hosting an intergalactic kegger down here.
One of those two voices is still alive, and that would be Ryan Day. The other one, Coach Google Me, obviously is not, but... Did the next head coach of the Dallas Cowboys coach last night in a very uninspiring performance?
You can't even say that with a straight face.
Yeah, Jason Witten's season is over already.
Man, I went on DC radio yesterday.
Well.
And I brought up Jason Witten as this dark horse. They were floored. They didn't have words to say after. I was like, guys, he won back-to-back high school state championships. Don't knock that. And they're like, oh, we didn't know he was coaching high school. They were blown away and floored because I was talking about Bobby's love of Kingsbury. We kind of made Bobby fun of Bobby for a second.
Oh, okay.
And then I brought
up last 9 o'clock call you get from me, Sean.
And then you're dying to tell people anyway. And then I brought up Witten. They didn't even know what to say.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. But yeah, so look, there's been some rumblings that, you know, Kirby Smart is not a. That there's some people think that he wants to go to the NFL at some point. And the current landscape of the sport. So what are a couple of things that have happened this year and really last year, too, with the NIL is that like Georgia and Alabama specifically had such an immense talent advantage pre-NIL and pre-portal because everybody wanted to play there.
Yep.
So when they got somebody hurt, their backups were just five stars. They just replaced them.
Yep.
And every year, you go to the NFL draft, and there was 5 to 6 to 8 players from each team in the first round. And now, they're subjected to the same attrition and injuries that everyone else is. And if you notice what happened in the playoffs so far in these, I guess, 8 games that we've had, all right? Just go down the list. Riley Leonard is better quarterback than Tanner Rourke. Drew Aller's better than Jennings. Will Howard's better than Nico. Quinn is better than Klubnik. Quinn is better than Levitt. Howard's better than Gabriel.
By the way, ESPN disagreed about all that with Quinn. They didn't have Quinn in their top 50 players, but they had Klubnik and Levitt.
Which is insane. But you get what I'm saying here. Riley Leonard's better than Stockton. It's just like the NFL. The better quarterback has won all these games. And I wonder how long Kirby wants to stay around.
Well, it's amazing the seesaw of what the better job is. Because we went from National Football League prestige to college work less hours, total control of your program. You're getting paid the same, if not more. And now we're back to National Football League is trending towards a better job because of Jim Larrañaga the other day.
You got to work too much.
Jim Larrañaga, yeah. And you got to deal with the BS and yeah. People, you lose your power, you lose your control, you lose your stability, and you got to turn into an agent. You have to turn into a negotiating right. salesman and agent. It used to be just, hey, I got to convince you to come to my school. Now I got to sit down and negotiate contracts with you.
I have to recruit you too. I've got to recruit you when these you're already on my team.
These coaches got to talk to Drew Rosenhaus now in addition to everything.
Essentially, yeah, they do. And, you know, now college football and college basketball is a 365-day-a-year job. In the NFL, you get a break. You get a break. Now, maybe in the middle of the year, you maybe work longer hours in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, Lincoln Riley said that's the one thing that looked most tempting to the NFL was just how the long hours. He said he's jealous of their work schedules because he doesn't get that benefit. Right.
But, you know, Kirby's a defensive guy. He's not going to have some crazy offense. You see this at Georgia. Quarterback's a role player. I don't know how well he fits, like, in the NFL. Like, you need to have a great quarterback to win in the NFL. But if you throw him into the pot and you're given a choice, Mike McCarthy or Kirby Smart, how are you choosing?
Kirby.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not disagreeing.
You could choose the dead cold body of Vince Lombardi or Mike McCarthy, and Bobby's going to choose Vince Lombardi. But I can't allow you to continue with this topic too much any further. You're the first one to always say he's never going to hire someone with zero NFL pro experience. So this is a non-starter.
I totally agree.
We just used it for a tease to try to trick people to listen.
Absolutely.
Well, I like Kirby Smart.
But I do think Kirby is going to go to the NFL someday.
You do?
I do. I don't think he's going to. Obviously, I don't think it's going to be here. But I do think he's going to go to the NFL. Someone's going to lure
him. Is Georgia usually viewed as like Dan Lanning has a detail, gets detail credit and props for what he's doing at Oregon? Does Kirby get that at Georgia? Like
Kirby,
they're coached great.
Yeah, Kirby's considered an X's and O's genius on defense. And so that's where he gets it's Saban was always like it's the program. Yeah. Lanning gets a lot of it's the program. Kirby's more, I mean, it's definitely program related, but Kirby's more considered just a really good schematic defensive guy.
I think Kirby's seems like he's got that personality and that twang to be able to get along well with professional coaches. And right. You fear Belichick now. You fear Saban coming back at me and too much of a hard ass. I don't have that same fear with Kirby.
Yeah, Kirby is. I mean, he's got hard ass in him.
Yeah, he's got more hard ass than like Kingsbury. That's what I would worry about with like Cliff. Right. You know, Lincoln Riley, like too nice. Not hardcore enough, but I think Kirby's got that nice balance.
Are there any college coaches you look at, though, and go, blinking light, like, I think that guy would succeed in the NFL?
I think Marcus Freeman would succeed in the NFL.
I didn't initially think Sark would. I think everything that Sark's done at Texas, I now think he could probably run an NFL team.
I think Shane Beamer would, too.
Shane Beamer?
Is he going to get in
he's
fights?
He's a psycho.
I know.
He's the next Eagles coach.
He's Dan Hurley.
He's the next Eagles coach.
And I say no to Sark because of our commercial break conversation.
That should mean to definite.
Nope.
Oh, my gosh. That means he's more prepared than anybody ever.
Nope. I think Lashley would succeed in the NFL, too.
I actually think Lashley's got his current trajectory, I think absolutely.
I don't know. I don't. Cignetti, absolutely not.
You know the name who comes up a lot with people who is just kind of under the radar, not as but PJ Fleck gets talked about a lot.
Yeah, I think
that.
He would too. He's a row the boat process guy. You got to be a process guy to succeed in the NFL. One thing that I this has been talked about.
By the way, let me play this clip real quick. We talk about that transition. Chris, this is going to be Harbaugh. And this ties into sitting players or not this NFL weekend. Harbaugh was on with Belichick and Jim Gray.
Well,
and listen to what they had to say about resting starters on the Let's Go.
You know, that's the thing that doesn't resonate right now is, play the backups. You know, like that would, what are we going to do? Dress 25 guys, you know, for for the game. So,
Jim, that's what some people I think have a hard time with is, well, don't play your starters. Yeah. I mean, you can only have seven inactive guys. Who are they? And it's tough to go to your team and say, well, we're not going to play you guys over here, but the rest of you get out there. We don't really care about you. You know, if you get hurt, that doesn't matter. But these six or seven guys we're going to protect.
That's interesting because I didn't think they only have seven guys you can't.
I know. That hit me yesterday. Yeah. I was like, oh, my gosh, that's it. You are limited.
You are limited, and it does send a bad message to those guys. Like, you don't care about them.
Yeah, but, I mean, come on. Let's live in the real world. Like, Micah Parsons, if there's something on the line, Micah Parsons, CeeDee Lamb, Dak Prescott, should not be playing.
Yeah, I mean, like, you have certain guys, especially you look at it's contract related. Like, look, guys, we got $100 million tied up in this guy, or $400 million, whatever the case may be.
I think it's way worse of a message when the same four or five of you go to every Duke basketball game. Keep your certain click.
I'm not disagreeing with you on that one.
Shots fired.
The pH balance of college football fans has been thrown off.
Loffenberger ain't coming on anymore this year, so I can make my Garrett shots.
For 100 years, college football was the best team in the regular, basically the best team all year is the national champion. And what we have seen in the past couple of weeks is the best team in the playoff is going to be the national champion. And that's very difficult to take for the old heads, for the guys who, I mean, college football fan forever. It's very hard to take that you could be the best team for 4 months, and now you have one bad day in the playoffs, and now you're out. And we've seen that. All the four teams with a bye lost.
Just ask all the fantasy football people in this building I played against.
The four teams that had a bye got outscored 42-3 in the first quarter.
Pay me, Alec. Of their games. You're the last one. Let's go.
Of their games. It's a different world. It is a completely different world in college football. It's.
Are you complaining about it? Because you're usually regular season title guy.
I don't like.
And I need you to follow up with a sentence that you would like to just get rid of a playoff. How would you? You want to go back to the old
the BCS?
The BCS. He's been arguing for it.
The BCS is great. Here's what I want to do. I want to go back to the computer model to seed.
To seed. Or did you not get rid of the playoffs?
No, the playoffs fun.
Yeah, playoffs.
Playoffs fun. Playoffs great.
I'll deal with this hot coffee on you.
Nothing's perfect. I'll deal with the outcome.
Because in college, you can't really decide it. I mean, what sport can you really be like? You have to pick a sport with the most balanced schedule. Would it be baseball?
Baseball and basketball have the most balanced schedule. Yeah. That's it. They're the most balanced.
So those are the only ones where you can be like, all right, you're the champion.
Hockey too. They're very, very balanced.
But cannot in college.
No. It is what it is. Like, you know, you're going to have to give up something good to get something better. You know, you just are. That's what happened here. But they are going to fix the buys because that was a big thing. Also, by the way, of the 11 biggest blowouts in college playoff history, only two of them happened this year. We keep thinking that all these games are blowouts.
Yeah.
We've had this thing for over a decade. Only two of the 11 happened this year.
They are blowouts, though. They've been blowouts. They haven't been, like, the worst games we've seen, but they are blowouts.
I know, but the blowouts, some of the blowouts have been happening from the lower seeds.
Yeah, no.
So the blowout factor should not matter, unless you are just totally convinced that the seeding was screwed up to begin with.
Because we do know two of the games, and one of them wasn't a blowout, the one that was... Yeah. The one where it's flipped with Texas and Arizona State, where Texas was considered, but like a Boise State, Penn State was considered the better team, even though the seeding wasn't right.
Right. So that the seeding's got to change.
So are you counting the? You know, an upset should feel like an upset.
Right. I'd say the Arizona State winning is not an upset. The Arizona State Texas game was the only game in this entire thing that felt like March Madness to me. Where, like,
how so?
Well, they were clearly an underdog. And it felt like everybody, as the game wore on, that everybody that wasn't a Texas fan was rooting for Arizona State.
When it was the only, like, really competitive game we've gotten so far.
That's why.
Yeah. But, you know.
You can't really have that feeling in the second half of Indiana getting smoked or SMU getting killed.
Yeah, because, like, other teams, people were rooting for SMU. People were rooting for Indiana. But as the game wore on and it was close and it was very Vermont versus Syracuse in the playoff, it felt. Okay, we got a little March Madness vibe here. Real quick.
And I especially rooted for ASU after those a-hole Longhorn fans ran their cocky, no-for-reason mouths over being a rules official. Let's go, Ryan Day. Wow. My God, I love you, Ryan Day.
Real quick, let's go to the ReliaQuest Bowl. And this is Bobby's guy.
Scataboo?
Jalen Milroe.
Oh.
He is being accused and suspected of tipping plays. How does this not picked up on? Saban easily would have picked up on this, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, I think teams know every single time Jalen Miller is going to throw the ball into the ground. I don't know if that's tipping plays.
So what it is the way he lines up. If you notice, on run plays...
No, we're not going to notice anymore.
Right. His feet are parallel before the snap. And on pass plays, his feet are staggered.
Yeah.
That's something that, like, I don't know if you could tell if it's a
difference. It was like that with Saban, or it started this year with DeBoer?
They noticed it here with DeBoer.
Well, DeBoer's not as detail oriented.
But the big news, he declared.
He declared.
Ah, Jihad declared too.
Yes.
Jihad Campbell.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So, yeah, Jalen Milroe declared. I don't know. I'm still wondering, is Quinn going to be the next quarterback at Oregon?
It's the second time since New Year's Jihad's been declared.
Wow.
He shouldn't have. That was stupid.
That's over the line.
That was Friday.
Too soon.
I thought just given the look you were going to stop.
I was talking about Jihad Ward declaring he was leaving.
Uh-huh. Oh.
Yeah.
So Milroe projected to be? Say running back.
Oh.
What round quarterback?
Probably first.
First?
Back into the first.
Yeah. Ooh.
That's the quarterback class.
Yeah.
And it's traits. Hurts was questionable about a late first, early second guy when he's coming out. He's in a similar spot that Hurts was.
If you could, all right, better physical tools between, is Milroe and Richardson the same?
No, Richardson's better. Like, Richardson's definitely a greater talent.
Who's the better thrower coming out? Was it Richardson?
Milroe's projection has looked better than Richardson's did. And so Milroe, Richardson has better arm talent. Milroe looks like a better passer
right
now.
He's more polished.
But it's still not great.
College football kegger with Ralph James Choppy here on DFW Sports Station. One of the final two times this regular season we catch up with Nick Eatman to preview the Commanders. And what is he hearing about Trey Lance and Mike McCarthy? Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com after this.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you, Chris Strong, in for Peyton Russell, Sean Treve, RJ Choppy, Cowboys insider Bobby Bell. Nick Eatman is joining us from DallasCowboys.com, brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort. Proud to be the official casino of the Dallas Cowboys. Please game responsibly. Good morning, Nicholas. How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Doing okay. You started off with a little chuckle there. Any reason? Any reason?
I missed my mom. You know, I haven't seen her in a while and talked to her. And so when she says Nicholas, I mean, that's what it reminds me of.
My mom too.
What's your middle name?
Chain.
Chain?
Did you say Shane?
Shane?
Shane.
Okay. Nicholas Shane Eatman. All right, that's a good one. Yeah. I thought it was going Shane, Chain, Jane.
Oh, yeah. No. Didn't know.
Yeah. What are your storylines for this one, Nick?
Oh, man. I mean, no one even knows who the quarterback's going to be. Like, that's what's crazy about this game. What's Washington doing? How long are they going to play their guys? I mean, obviously, they need to play. I mean, I would play this thing if I was them all out, because the difference between the two and the three seed in the NFC seems to be pretty drastic. Mm-hmm. So I think they will play, but it's the storyline for this team, you know, for the Cowboys, is just what are they doing at quarterback? Is Trey Lance playing? Is he starting? Is Will Greer play at all? How are they doing this? Cooper Rush said it was business as usual yesterday, which doesn't sound like it. It doesn't seem that way. So, I think the big storyline is just the quarterback and what happens there and how does the offense look with whoever is playing.
Does Trey Lance get a quarter or more?
I would say more.
Okay.
I would say more than that. Yeah, I think he'll probably play. I if I had to guess, and again, I should know more than I do on this, but you know, they're trying to keep this pretty tight. I think he's going to play a significant amount.
All right, Nick, so heading into this game, McCarthy was kind of reflective yesterday and talking about how, you know, that home locker room, he's always emotional walking into it and different things like that. Who are you most confident that this will be the last time they walk into the Cowboys' home locker room this weekend?
Booth.
Is this here? I'll go to. Do you think this is the last game for Oso Odighizuwa?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I just can't see. It's Dorrance Armstrong's contract that just keeps, like, I know it's about $15 million. I think that the way that they structured it, it'll end up being about $11 million. But still, like, that type of deal and the production that he had, I just think that opens the door for a lot of these guys. to make more money than the Cowboys can really, you know, they can really pay for. So Osa is probably one. They're going to say the right things. They're going to want him back. I just can't see it, a scenario where that happens, really.
Who is this game? Because we already know where the standings are at. There's a lot of just developmental questions people have. Like, can you let Trey Lance out there to do some stuff? Who do you feel like this game is actually important for? Whether that be for their future or for their development or anything else. Who do you look at and say, this is an important game for them to be able to do something?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like that they still want to give Deuce Vaughn a shot. And so I think personally that we've seen what he can do and can't do against, you know, NFL players in regular season games. There's a narrative out there that he really hasn't given that chance. Well, if that's the case, you know, this would be a game maybe that would happen. And so that, you know, against a team with starters that are trying to play for something. So that would be one guy. Some of those receivers, you know, something's going to happen here between Brooks and Flannoy and Mingo, going into next season. I think this would be a big chance for these guys to kind of show what they can do. And, you know, maybe a guy like Awesome Richards gets a chance to play some. And again, I don't think it's a make or break for some of these young guys, but it's like we're getting close to the offseason where we make decisions around here. And then let's see what, you know, this is your last chance to do something before they make some of these decisions.
They've had their excuses. Nick Eatman from DallasCowboys.com joins us here. They've had their excuses as to why they haven't been able to give Trey Lance an opportunity after they gave up a fourth-round pick from. What's been the reasonable excuse not to try to get Jonathan Mingo more acclimated?
I think they have. I just think he can't catch a pass. I mean, he can't
get catch a pass,
a ball in his vicinity. I mean, I guarantee you, and I wasn't there for one practice, thankfully, but I guarantee you he got better passes thrown his way in Carolina than here. No pass is close to him, and I don't understand why that is. It's got to be some on him. It can't just be bad luck every time. But, you know, he's diving, jumping around. He's gotten some opportunities to play some, but when he's open, when he's there, the ball just hasn't been there. So it's got to, you know, again, if the Dak yard is open for business, he's got to be there this offseason. If that's a thing, we've seen guys really grow from that work with Dak, and I hope Mingo is a participant there.
More snaps, him or Trey?
In the game, snaps. Between Mingo or Trey Lance?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, well, probably Mingo, because I would think whoever the quarterback is, he would be out there a lot. He should play a lot. I mean, he needs to play a lot in this game. They need to have some kind of some positive feeling about him moving into the offseason. And you know, because if it stands as it is right now and that fourth-round pick comes around, it's only going to get worse. So he's going to have to play some, and I think he needs to have a couple of big plays.
Has your McCarthy meter swayed since we last talked on Monday? And if so, where?
I'm just right down the center. I don't know. I'm at the situation where you could say this is what we're doing and why, and I could be like, got it, okay, understood. And then you could say the exact same thing on the other side, and I'd be like, got it. I see that point. Yeah, that makes sense. So I see both sides of this. I'm obviously not making the decision. So I could see them saying, we want continuity. We're going to keep it going. When he's got a relatively healthy roster, this team can be successful. Let's keep this thing going. I could also see them saying, hey, the offense just hasn't been good enough. It's been stale. We need to have some different play calling in here one way or another. Let's change the voice. I could see both sides. I really could.
What has your audience called for, and who or what have they wanted over at DallasCowboys.com when it comes to the coach?
Every name you could imagine gets thrown out there. Again, you know, I'm like, you know, I got like a fly swatter at like the picnic. You know, I'm wiping it away. Like, you know, I can't talk about that. We're not talking about him. But most of the fans, I think, just want to change. Now there are some that do support McCarthy. They think he's a good coach. They think that the continuity is good. It's I wouldn't say it's 50-50, but it's probably 60-40 on some, the fans that call into my show want a different coach. But it's about 60-40. It's not, you know, all now have another bad loss this week to finish the season and lose to Washington like that. You know, it'll probably go even worse, but it's close to being down the middle.
All right, brother, we will wrap it up on Monday. Thank you and enjoy the weekend.
All right, sounds good. See you guys.
Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com, brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort. Proud to be the official casino of the Dallas Cowboys. Please game responsibly. You left Tank Lawrence off that list.
Yeah, I think who knows if he'll even be walking into the home locker room in this game. We haven't seen him really around the team at all.
He's out upstairs with Dak with 6 Dasanis and 8 Red Bulls.
No, I actually think I've seen him in the end zone suites at times. He's been in suites with his family more than he's been on the sideline or anything else. In fact, I think I've seen him more at Cowboys Club in the evening a couple times, like with his family or whatever else, than I've seen him around the facility. I think it's pretty clear this is the end for DeMarcus Lawrence. And I think that he's at a point where done everything I can here. They've had a couple of different standoffs over time about whether he was going to come back. There was his contract situation in back-to-back off seasons. Then there was the restructure of his deal. There was the whole burned out thing that a lot of people, I think DeMarcus Lawrence felt like he got unfairly thrown under the bus for, where it's like, I'm trying to come up for an answer and I'm trying not to throw some people under the bus here. And so for me to be the one that got kind of pushed in front of it
with
in the process.
Retired thing?
Where he said the whole little, like, you know, we was burned out thing.
Burned
I think
out.
That he felt like I'm just trying to come up with an answer so that I don't throw some people under the bus who I think very easily could have been thrown under the bus here. And so I think that he felt like the last year or so hasn't been fair to him. And so, yeah,
he's had some Micah back and forths.
Yeah, I don't know that they were always on the best terms. I think that they probably butted heads a few times. And so that's something where I think he's probably ready to move on.
Anyone else? Any other names to throw out?
Yeah, I don't think I agree with Nick. I think this is probably it for Osa, just because
the money.
I think they'd like him back, but I think it's a money thing. I think there's a lot of speculation from people that he's going to end up back in a familiar spot, whether that's Quinn in Washington, Adam Dirty in Seattle. I think that there's a feeling that those could be spots that he ends up, but it's going to probably be out of their price range.
All right, Chop, I do not think that we have the music. Someone must have erased your degenerate music out of the system, but we can still get your selections to finish up a strong Friday.
All right, so we were 3-3 in the sport last week, which brings us to 90-59 for the year.
Wow.
4 selections. Don't worry, that's not sustainable. So we get a losing streak coming.
How does that compare to Sandler's picks? He stopped texting them to us.
Because he saw my record. He's like, I can't compete with that. I got Cincinnati -2 against Pittsburgh this week. I also like the under 48.
Okay.
All right.
Now, how dangerous is the final week to bet?
Very. That's why we're keeping it on. We're treading lightly here.
Yeah.
Then I also got Jets Miami under 39.
Okay.
All right.
No Tua. Tua's a hip, by the way, not a head.
Yeah. And then finally, Detroit, Minnesota, over 56.5. Big number. Detroit's defense, they can't stop anybody. In the last few weeks, Minnesota's defensive metrics are taking a little bit of a slide. So over 56.5 for that, under 39 for Jets Miami, under 39 Cincy Pittsburgh, Cincy -2.
All right, it's Friday, so you know that the KMC Masterpiece is at Buffalo Wild Wings. They have Jerry Jones at 10:30 today. Let's crosstalk with the fellas to close out the week right after this. Crosstalk with the KMC Masterpiece featuring the return of Corey Majors right here on DFW Sports Station. You guys are out on the road. Alec Medford is joining Corey. Where are you?
Guys, we are at Buffalo Wild Wings in Burleson today.
Whoa.
We already got the room started over here today. It is 12832 South Freeway. Come out and see us and take a load off. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I do have the Take a Load Off t-shirt on today, so we will be doing that as well. Let's take a load off, even without Mike Bassick in the house. And Sean, I want to show you something real quick, Sean, on the fan cam. This is
Alex Venmo? Otherwise, I'm not interested.
Alex Matt, Band.
That's not possible.
Matt, would you mind come over here? I hope I'm not getting you in trouble or
that's
anything.
Right.
Would you mind putting your arm in front of this? This is the coolest tattoo that I think I've seen in a long time. Right here it says, not dreaming, and it's in Rangers.
Wow.
Yeah. And I just love that he took what Eric Nadell said whenever the Rangers won the World Series, because winning championships is fun.
It is, and I think what he calls it is better than the tattoo itself. He calls it his champ stamp. So
I like it. It's good.
I think I like that better than the tattoo itself.
That is awesome. What's going on, fellas?
How many tattoos do you have, Medford?
I have 8.
Whoa.
He's got C-3PO on his arm.
All right.
And then what else?
Can we see them all, or are there any hidden
ones? Of course, I wore long sleeves today, so I would have to go full no shirt 9. But, I mean, I've got the forearm pretty much covered with 2. I've got the Samurai Code of Honor, which is 3 different tattoos on my inner bicep. I've got a Star Wars Sarlacc pit tattoo on the outer bicep, and then I've got one on my chest that's some song lyrics.
And nipple rings.
And that is not true.
How many tattoos are you willing to go up to?
There's no set number. The deal I made myself whenever I got my first one was I want to try to stick to only the right side of my body. I don't want to go too crazy. Yeah, so the leg is still in play, the back even. I'll go to the back. But outside of that, once the leg is covered up, I'm probably tapped out.
Now, are you regretting any of them? Do you rank them like Dion's children? All right, that's the 6th, that's the 7th. This one's definitely my favorite, my top 2 and my bottom 2.
I don't regret any. That's the good thing. There's some that were definitely impulsive that probably required a little more thought. Like the Samurai Code of Honor was total impulse. It was before I worked here. I had a bad day at my old job, and I was like, screw it. I'm getting a tattoo to make myself feel better.
That doesn't feel like an impulse.
That's very impulsive.
A whole code of honor.
Yeah.
Like initials or anything.
That's very impulsive.
Exactly. Of course, I have a friend whose cousin owns a shop in Arlington. It was right down the street, and I was like, hey, are you busy? And he was like, no, what do you want? I was like, I'll tell you when I get there. But I would say my favorite one probably is the microphone tattoo on my forearm, just because it was the most expensive by far, so I think I take more pride in that because of that. But
the
most detailed, too.
It's the one that looks like C-3PO. It doesn't look like a microphone.
It's not C-3PO. It's really hard
kind
to show.
Of
but
C-3PO.
If I stand up, you can see it better. But basically, it's like an old-timey Bruce Buffer microphone.
Interesting.
And,
Bruce Buffer.
It's got a Phantom of the Opera mask. That's what I'm trying to get to. There we go.
Have you ever thought about what's the closest you've come to honoring a female with some of the ink?
Oh, man.
Ooh.
Or never.
I mean, I do have a tattoo for my mom, so counts.
Would it be a wrestling female?
Are you a wrestling fan, too?
Oh, yes. Huge. Yeah, I'll be at Monday Night Raw at the AAC January
20th.
Yeah, come say hi if you're out there in Section 106.
But, section what?
Section 106.
Whoa! Lower
ball! Oh, wow. He's got a new...
Unbelievable!
106. He's got his new Equinox or whatever, but he can't pay me my fantasy football win.
Well, he doesn't have
Venmo. Sean, there's something called afterpay.
He's banned.
I just bought a car, so the pockets are very thin right now.
It's a Blazer.
It's a Blazer that he got from Platinum Chevy.
Oh, yes, this is true.
How much does he owe you?
50.
Okay, well, he's going to owe you 30. I'm going to give your 20, Alec. I'm going to give your 20 Sean.
Yeah, what 20? I forgot about that. Thanks, Bob.
We had him play How Young is Alec Medford during Crosstalk when we found out he was a drug mule or whatever, and that's why he got banned from Venmo.
Are you banned from Venmo?
Yeah, I am.
For real?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did.
He was a courier.
Yeah. We talked about it on here.
Yeah. He was a courier for a money laundering scheme.
Allegedly.
Oh.
No, he's gone. You're fine. You can say it now.
Long story short, Sean, is somebody on the Fantex tried to do the reverse psychology research and tried to find who it was. This person did not go to my high school. I was just friends with him in high school. But he was super smart, right? Valedictorian of his class at his school. And he hit me up my freshman year of college. And, I had just started this job. So I was like, money's thin. And he texted me and he was like, I wrote a thesis paper for a dude getting his doctorate at SMU, full elaborate story. Gave me his LinkedIn profile and everything. And he was like, he is sending me money for it because I don't do it for free. And I don't have Venmo, but I have Cash App. Can you take the Venmo money from him and Cash App it to me? And I was like, sure, it's going to be, what, like a couple $100? It ended up being a few thousand. And I was like, you know, something's up here. And I was like, you know, if you let me keep $50. No, I'm kidding. He was like, he was like, keep 50 of it. I was like, okay. And I was like, do me a favor. Don't ask me to do that again, because I don't think you're, telling the truth.
So why is Venmo banning you for that?
Large transaction.
Yeah, it was just a large transaction. And every time that I've tried to go back, I mean, it's been probably 2 or 3 years since I've tried to reactivate my account. So I could probably try it and see if it works again.
Yeah,
but,
please do.
2% yeah, standard is the fee. I bet you would love that, Sean. Yeah, he should have gotten 2% of the money, not $50.
Yeah, but hey, when you're 18 and you're making, what, at the time, like $10 an hour, you know, $50 is $50. So
or however old you are now.
Oh, yeah. 19.
Yeah, $50 is still $50 to me, Sean.
Corey, what's coming up on the program?
Guys, we do have Jerry Jones hopping on with us at 10:30 today. That will be our last conversation with him for the season. Mm. We do start the show off with, has college football playoff created more chaos or given you exactly what you wanted? We'll do that right out of the gate. And then we got more action going on with the combo platter. It's J.R.R. Tolkien Day. So give us your sports opinion and your favorite author. So we'll do that at 12:20 today.
How many authors can you name? I wonder.
Well, we're imbeciles. We're idiots. We are. We're not well-read.
I know Dean Koontz. Mm-hmm. I know Michael Crichton.
Dave Brown.
He's not
Dan
here.
Brown.
He's not
Dan Brown.
He's not
Dave
here right
Brown
now.
Was the old Giants quarterback.
Yeah, he's not here right now. There's no chance he's listening. Dean Koontz is in the next edition of How Young Is Peyton Russell.
Who's read the most books here in the last 6 months? Who do you think? Chris Strong?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I was
yeah.
just looking up who the author was for Diary of a Wimpy Kid, because that's the type of stuff I read growing saying, up.
Chris strikes me as the type that he would be the one to set up one of those leave a book, take a book.
Oh, the Scholastic.
Like yeah. he would build one of those in a tree.
We have one of those across the street from me. Yeah, there's one right across the street, that little library, and we have one of those, and it's all adult books. I don't know. There's no kid books in it. I'm like, why are there
erotica?
All adult books?
They just put those in the thing over there?
Oh, my God, guys. I got a story.
Oh, no.
Over the holiday, I was in my bedroom dying, and my in-laws were in town, and my wife had a couple martinis.
Oh, baby. I like the way this is going.
And so they called the next day. They referred to her as two martini mom. And so I walked out and to get like some water, and they're playing Cards Against Humanity. And it's my in-laws and the her sister and brother-in-law, their kids, my kids. And I hear my mother-in-law explaining what erotica means to my middle son. And I was like, what is happening right now? And I just look at Adrian, and she's swirling that martini glass around. And I was like, okay, that's what's going on here. So that was a very awkward situation. So I just went back to bed. That was a bit.
Was it vodka or gin martini?
She's vodka. She was rolling through. I think that was some Dripping Springs is what we rocked with there, because it's good vodka.
Corey, how are you approaching the Jerry questions today? I'm very interested to know this.
Well, you guys did a really good job of diving in on the Mike McCarthy stuff with him on Tuesday. So I think I don't have much on McCarthy. I want to know more about like personnel stuff, this offseason, their process behind the scenes and stuff like that. I do want to know, as y'all were discussing this morning, I do want to know a little bit about his interest maybe in John Gruden and him coming back to be a head coach in the NFL. So I have one of those lined up, but you know, even listening this morning with y'all with McCarthy, that was – I really liked the way the end of that went. Bobby, you were right. That last few minutes was very interesting, the way he reflected on all that. I don't know if you're going to get that kind of reflection from Jerry Jones with McCarthy, but I do want to know a little more about the way he sees this team. I have one question I'm kind of interested in. If it is a copycat league, is there a team right now that he's interested in copying and mimicking?
Like
what team does he like out there? Because if he has no answer, then that's a problem.
Corey, do you have a very strong feeling as to what they're going to do with Mike?
I have been in the camp of him sticking around, but after that loss, that was pretty embarrassing against the Eagles, so that changed my mind. And if they beat Washington, then that'll change my mind again. So, no, but I've been more on the plus 50 side of him staying around, just because I don't know that I think Jerry really wants to go through that process of it all.
Yeah.
I'm surprised by how many people you talk to around the team that are just as like where we're at, where they're just like, I don't know. Either Jerry's doing a good job of concealing it, or they haven't made up their mind. None of us know.
The one like, thing they all are about. This team doesn't stop talking.
They are all and does that mean that they're being secretive? That mean I doubt it's more like they're keeping the best secret that they've ever kept, and it's more likely they haven't decided.
Which is insane.
It's
ridiculous.
Like because it tells you that they're deciding not necessarily on Mike, but on their options.
No.
Beyond like right like
yeah
who else is available like that's like that's even worse.
Alec, do you have your big Jerry question loaded up to make national news?
Yeah, I gotta get First Take their content, you know.
Okay.
I mean, I do want to know if McCarthy, if he does come back, if he's going to continue to call plays, or if they're going to have him address the offensive coordinator position in like a real way instead of bringing in a buddy that's going to sit there and help him draw up plays. I do kind of to Choppy's point about the options. I do want to know if a lot of that decision is going to hinge on who is available, because honestly, outside of your hotshot, you know, offensive coordinators like the Ben Johnsons out there and stuff, maybe like Corey said, a John Gruden, who knows? Like outside of some of those big fish names, who out there is really intriguing to a Jerry Jones who would probably want a household name?
Corey, where are you guys again with that standing ovation crowd already?
We are at Buffalo Wild Wings in Burleson, 12832 South Freeway. So come on out and see us today. This is our last, this is the final Friday football feast. It's going to be a nice one today. I like this Burleson group. They already got a great staff. They're all friendly and fun. So be prepared to have some fun with them. Be prepared to take a load off all day long. That's the plan. Because Kevin's not around for us to not take a load off.
All four
so,
hours.
Yeah, so we just take loads off the entire
loads
day.
On loads. Loads on
loads. Yeah, all the loads. Monster. So many loads off.
Have a great show. Everyone have a great weekend. The KMC Masterpiece is next on 105.3 The Fan.